Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey? You alive?
This is my Jordan flu pod of 2019. Hopefully my only one, but I'm all right. I'm alive.
He's alive. He made it to the show. We got to give him props. Give him a round of applause. But we got to break into some nasty stuff. We got some hot take, some shot fake. And then, as always, you know, check us out. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and YouTube. But sadly, to start off, we do have to talk about an injury. Jusuf Nurkić suffered a major injury last night, ankle slash leg. Obviously, compound fracture. Had successful surgery today, but he's going to be out the rest of the season. And a really disappointing injury, which has happened a little bit too much for Portland.
Yeah, I mean, for me, obviously I was sick, so I didn't stay up late to watch this double overtime, right?
Yeah,
double
overtime thriller. Don't remind me.
Right. Sorry, your Nets were on the wrong end of that. I know that.
So was my sleep schedule.
it reminded me, though, that people always have it worse than me as I was head first in the garbage can. It reminded me that there's always something worse. But for the Blazers and Nurkić, it's unfortunate. You know, Nurkić was having a career year. Obviously, McCollum went down, but Lillard has been fantastic this year. The Blazers look like they may have actually been a threat, at least in the first round, to advance in the playoffs, which obviously last year they got swept. So it just really put a damper on a season. Of course, not that you ever like to see a player get hurt or you or anything like that, but it coming with 9 games left in the season or 10 games left, it just stings a little bit more knowing that you had all of this success to this point, all of these hopes, playoffs right on the horizon, and then basically your season on the outside looking in looks to be cut short.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first off, it sucks for Nurkić. We wish him the best. Hope he has a full recovery. And like you said, it comes even worse on him for a personal level because he was having a career year. You know, 15-10-3, 50%, over 50% from the field. You know, arguably their second most impactful player. Obviously, CJ McCollum is probably a better player. But Nurkić brings something different. Great in the pick and roll with Dame. He improved defensively. Just really sucks for him to go down having such a great season and dealing with a major injury like that. We saw what it did to Gordon Hayward. You know, Caris LeVert wasn't quite as severe, and it's still taking him a long time to get back to form. But for Portland, like you said, Corey, they were starting to get some momentum. Obviously, CJ McCollum was out, but there was more confidence this year with some of the additions they made in a Rodney Hood, a Seth Curry, and his Cantor that maybe they could get into the second round. And now that just looks really unlikely.
Yeah, I know that already with this injury occurring that I don't think they make it out of the first round. Also, you know, CJ McCollum is coming back from an injury, so how does he look necessarily in that first round? So it's disappointing for the Blazer fan base. Obviously, Dame Lillard, Terry Stotts, they're going to have that team, you know, next man up mentality. They're going to continue to play hard. They're one of the hardest playing teams on a nightly basis. So you don't have to worry about that, but it's sad.
Yeah, it really is, and obviously Dame Lillard, it's tough for him. He's going to obviously come to play in the first-round series, but he's going to get a lot of attention sent his way. How much does that Enes Kanter signing help right now, or it still doesn't really matter?
I mean, I think it helps to a degree because Enes Kanter is still, compared to other guys they have on the roster, like Zach Collins and Myers Leonard, he's still a very good rebounding center, a very good offensive center. As we know, Enes Kanter just doesn't play defense or can't play defense, whatever it is. He's just not a good defender. So that's where they're going to lose a lot. Obviously, Portland is kind of based around their defense and then the heavy guard play of Lillard and McCollum. So they're going to lose a little bit on the defensive end of the ball. But offensively and rebounding-wise, they should be decently okay with Kanter. But again, it's going to be the defense where they see major issues.
Yeah. Would you be surprised if Zach Collins ended up playing more than Enes Kanter?
No, I wouldn't. I think it's also not that you ever like seeing guys get opportunities from stuff like this, but this is a great opportunity for Myers Leonard, who is a young guy who has shown some promise over the course of the last couple of years to really maybe earn a bigger role in the future. So I definitely think Leonard gets more looks, especially with the season, the 10 games left in the playoffs ahead.
No, I was talking actually Zach Collins, not Myers Leonard.
Oh, my fault. Yeah, well, Zach Collins, same thing. Yeah. I that's who I meant. Myles Leonard, I think, isn't even in the rotation anymore.
Yeah, he's weird. He'll play in the rotation for like a couple games, then he'll be out of the rotation. But I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up playing because he's been there so long too. But Zach Collins, there was a lot of hype about him early in the year about, you know, his defensive skill set, his shot blocking ability, the athleticism he brings. Obviously, he can stretch the floor a little bit. You know, and his Kanter did knock down 2 threes, which had me stunned last night. But It's a really tough road for them, and it just seems like it's going to be tough for them to get into the second round, even if all of these guys play well.
It's like we mentioned, it's never good having an injury like this happen, especially at this point in the season where you're kind of already looking ahead to the playoffs. You're already getting ready for that first round matchup.
Do you think this will have a long-term impact on Portland's future, like another bad postseason run? Obviously, it's due to injury, but, you know, people only care about the results.
I think you may see more changes just because this kind of injury, if they were to get – they're a 4 seed now, so they'd match up with Utah Jazz in the first round, even though I think the Clippers and Jazz have a tie. They're both 44-30. Anytime you're bounced in the first round after getting bounced in the previous year in the first round, I think it's going to just mean they look to reshape the roster just in case an injury like this happens. They can maybe sustain it more because this is a team where if you lose Lillard, McCollum, or as you know, Nurkic, you're in trouble because these are your big three guys and you just don't get that kind of production from other guys on the roster. And there's no one really on this roster who you can say, yeah, he can step up.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Obviously, they might need to restructure the roster, get some real piece in there. You know, maybe it's moving CJ McCollum. Obviously, you're not going to move Nurkic after an injury like that. And you mentioned their playoff positioning at the 4 seed right now, but only 3.5 back of the 8 seed, or 3.5 up on the 8 seed. So wouldn't be surprised if they dropped to 7-8 before the playoffs start.
I wouldn't be surprised either. The one bad thing about the conference they play in is the fact that you every night you're going to have somebody bringing it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they worked hard all season to have a great record. And, you know, myself included, like, we didn't expect them to be as successful this year after a bad postseason run, but they bounced back and they set themselves up for a winnable first round series. If you fall this to the AC and you have to match up with Golden State in the first round, it's just like, it's just right. Terrible.
Yeah, it's a disaster waiting to happen.
So, but like we just mentioned, you know, we wish Nurkic the best. Maybe Portland can surprise like they did this year. But Corey, I'm going to pass it over to you for some hot take shot fake.
All right, so we have another fine edition of Hot Take Shot Fake. We have a couple guys from OTG who threw in some hot takes, and then we have some simply from the Twitter sphere of hot takes. So first up, we have our guy Jack Manuel. His hot take or shot fake is very close to your heart. D'Angelo Russell will be an elite point guard within the next 3 seasons.
Oh, thanks, Jack. I know you do this at me personally. Why, what Jack's saying with elite point guard, does that essentially in your eyes think like top five?
Yeah, I'm guessing we're putting him up with the names like Kyrie, like Steph Curry, Damian Lillard. I think he's talking about his name being alongside of those type of guys.
You know what? I'll support my guy Jack right here with a hot take. I think D'Angelo, obviously, he's only 23 years old, is ascending, just had over 20 points for 5 straight games, first net to do that since Darren Williams. I think he's had, you know, 3 30 straight point games. So he's really ascending, and I think the stuff that he needs to clean up, he can easily fix. I think adding more muscle to him will get him to the line a little bit more. His passing ability has opened up layups for him, and I think defensively he just needs to put in a little bit more effort and a little bit more muscle. And there's no reason that he won't be able to kind of ascend there just because some of the other guys in the top five will probably start to take the decline eventually. And Jack gave me a pretty good window of 3 years.
Right. I think it's a hot take as well. Because also something that I thought about in this is obviously D'Lo's having a tremendous year, all-star caliber. He's been the driving force for this Nets team much of the year. And they don't necessarily have big talent alongside of him yet. Obviously, sure. There's hope that they can get a free agent or two within the next 3 years, hopefully next offseason. So if you bring in a guy, let's say, like a Kawhi Leonard or a Kevin Durant, I think that only helps D'Lo become a more solidified player and probably even raise his game to another level, having that kind of offensive option alongside of him.
It's a really good point, Corey. Also, just open up things for him where there's been situations, especially when Dinwiddie and LeVert were out, where he's getting a lot of attention from the opposing team, double teams, trapping off screens, and having another elite player out there would really open things up.
For sure. The next one is from Kyle Russell, another OTG guy. And this one's more based towards me. If the Pacers and Celtics match up in the first round, the Pacers will defeat the Celtics.
Sorry, I'm going to have to go with shot fake. I would love the Pacers to win, especially with Cam throwing shade at the Pacers a couple episodes ago for you. But I think Boston's just going to end up like turning it on for the playoffs. I feel like they're just kind of fooling everybody right now. Like, yeah, they're not playing great, but I think they can not turn the switch, but get better.
Yeah, this is a shot fake for me as well. I love my Pacers. They got a very big, really nice win over the Denver Nuggets a couple nights ago.
They got a beatdown. They gave them a beatdown.
Yeah, 36-point win coming off, I think, like a 36-point loss to the Warriors. So it just goes to show you that anything can happen to a degree. But again, in the seven-game series, I just don't like going against a team like the Celtics with so much talent, as you mentioned. Brad Stevens, too, he's got a lot of crap as a head coach this year on his inability at times maybe to figure out how to get this team functioning. But I think when you have seven games to prep for a team, you get to exclusively just focus in on one team. I think it's when Brad Stevens is probably going to look his best as a coach all year. So I'm going shot fake.
And I think the defensive potential of a team like Boston would really hurt the Pacers because of Oladipo being out and the lack of guys that can kind of create on their own or just hit tough shots.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So next up, this is from Paul Pierce.
Oh, great. This is going to be a shot fake. I'm calling a shot fake before you even announce the rest of the team.
Zion Williamson is already a top 50 current basketball player in the world.
I honestly hate these takes. Like, I just think it's impossible. Like, it all depends on the situation he's in, if he's going to be a top 50 player next year. Let's say, hypothetically, some, like, a lottery team gets him that's 10 through 14, and they win the lottery, and they draft him, and he's not on a giant roll. Or let's say, instead, he goes to the Knicks, and they don't sign any stars, and he's getting the ball in his hands, like, most of the game. You know, he's going to have a better chance of being an elite player in one of those situations. So if he goes to a really bad team and gets a lot of touches, give me hot take. If he goes to –
Well, the take is that he already is.
I don't think so. Like as much as he's like a grown man in college right now, but he still hasn't done against NBA players.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. This is a major shot thing. I know Skip Bayless today said he's a top 30 NBA Skip player Bayless already.
Doesn't even deserve to be on the show.
Right. Sorry, I apologize. But yeah, so I agree. It's shot fake. I don't.
And you've mentioned this before, and I know Dylan brought this up. He could struggle a little bit adjusting to the NBA game.
Yeah, I mean, I still have a lot of concerns about a guy who's 6'7". Obviously, he's 280. He's got crazy athletic ability, but the jump shot's questionable. And I just think, as you mentioned, depending on where he goes, too situational, I don't think it's as easy to say this guy is going to be some kind of stud his first year. Like, Luka Doncic could already do everything. And I know we had in the OTT group chat today a big debate between Zion and Luka Doncic a little bit. But I think like Luka just could do everything. So you saw him and he's more of a sure thing. Like obviously Zion's got the crazy raw athletic ability and everything like that, but I just don't think it's a sure thing.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say a sure thing. I mean, would I be surprised if he's a top 50 player next year? No, not at all. But to say he's one at this moment, and I think a lot of things when people are talking top 50 player, it's like not top 50 players you would start your franchise with. It's like top 50 players if you're creating a roster today that would win that game.
For sure. So now next up, should I give out username? Because some of these guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is from Jay Hammond.
He put it publicly on Twitter. So.
All right. So Jay Hammond, New York Yankees for life. Jason Kidd is an underrated coach. He would be an upgrade for several NBA teams. Hot take or shot fake?
Shot fake. You know, I don't think he's maybe as terrible as some people make him seem, but he's not a good NBA head coach. I think he would have benefited from getting experience as an assistant head coach. Obviously, has great feel for the game, but he still needs to learn some of the smaller details.
Yeah, I'm going with shot fake as well. Obviously, you got the Jason Kidd experience up close when he was the coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And between his time in Brooklyn, where obviously they had an aging Kevin Garnett and an aging Paul Pierce, a Darren Williams who couldn't stay on the court.
Couldn't score a bucket in the playoffs, had zero points in a game.
So, he had that kind of talent. He did have the Milwaukee Bucks as a young, up-and-coming team with Middleton, Antetokounmpo, Jabari Parker. Obviously, Jabari Parker suffered a lot of injuries along the way. But I think we've seen him with some decent NBA-level talent, and he really hasn't been able to get anything done in the playoffs. Never had, major regular season success. So I think he kind of is what the back of his playing card says he is. And he's a decent head coach, but I don't think he's underrated because he never really performed at a higher level.
Yeah, I think he needs to get more experience. You know, is that assistant coach? Maybe is that a lesser level job or is that a college job? Who knows? But I think we'll probably see him back in the NBA coaching at some point.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely get at least one more chance. Next up, we have from Calvin Chapel, hot take. It's a good reason Jimmer Fredette couldn't stay in the NBA. He won't survive this 2-year deal in Phoenix. Hot take or shot fake?
Probably a hot take here. I mean, no offense to Jimmer. It just feels like everybody always hypes him back for his return, and then he ends up doing nothing. I mean, I saw some, like, highlights from a Jazz versus Suns game, and Raul Neto, like, blasted by him. So, you know, no confidence in his defense at all.
Yeah, I was looking at his stat line last night. I don't know if you saw it against the Jazz. He played 14 minutes, had 6 points, one rebound, one assist, one steal on 1 of 10 shooting in 14 minutes.
Excellent.
So he definitely gets his shot still, but I'm going with hot take. I don't see him surviving the two-year deal because I just don't think he's an NBA caliber player. I think he'll probably end up back in China and he'll go back to dominating, but it just shows that, you know, you can be a fantastic, great college-level prospect and talent, but it doesn't necessarily translate to the NBA. I just think he's a little bit too slow for the modern game.
Yeah.
Next up, from Sexton Mentality. Yes, this is a Cleveland Cavalier fan.
That's a good username. Shout out to him or her.
Hot take, Dan Gilbert isn't a bad owner. He actually had like a little bit to back up this take, so I'll want to read it because it's actually not a terrible backup. Yeah, he made some mistakes, like all of owners. The LeBron James note was a huge disaster, but realistically, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been competitive, and they are already in a great position to get back to the playoffs.
Nah. Okay. Let's say they're competitive. The years LeBron wasn't there, they were absolutely terrible. And, like, this year there's still no guarantee that they're going to ever be good in the future. You know, Colin Sexton has had a good rookie season, but doesn't mean he's going to be an all-star. I don't know if there's any future all-stars on the roster. Obviously, I have Kevin Love, but in terms of the young guys, so they're not in a great position. They probably have at least 2 years of, including this year, of hard tanking, and then maybe we can reevaluate. But Dan Gilbert pissed off the greatest player, you know, of this generation. So that alone makes him a bad owner. The only reason he got LeBron back is because LeBron wanted to play in his hometown. So, yeah, I'm definitely calling this shot fake.
I'm going with shot fake as well. The note and the way he put it out there after what LeBron gave.
He's done plenty of other questionable things too, and I think politically, I don't even want to get into that.
Right,
the negative ties.
Right, the way he stands politically is certainly something to note. Yeah, so I go hot, and also like the team being successful and kind of being playable. It's not necessarily him. You know, that's more credit to the GM and the scout team for finding the right prospects to bring in.
And he gets a major L for letting David Griffin go.
Right. No, that's another good point. Yeah, David Griffin had done great things with that Kyrie and LeBron tandem, and he was let go for reasons I'm still unsure of.
And he had a really good relationship with Kyrie, David Griffin, and he obviously let him go, and then Kyrie ended up forcing a trade. So
right.
That Dan Gilbert is not a good owner. I don't know. You can talk yourself into whatever you want.
So next up, this is from the OTG Twitter account. I actually don't know who was running the Twitter, but this was 5 days ago.
If you tell,
it was Sixers, yeah. Celtics.
Okay, and what
it looks that? Like either Brandon Smart or Nick Guavo, by the way that they tag both of the teams in it and the players. Mm-hmm. The hot take is Tobias Harris is worth max money.
I'm pretty sure this was Nick because I remember seeing it. If we're full out maxing Tobias Harris, I think that's rough because I don't think Tobias Harris is ever like going to be your one or two best player on your championship team. And the Nets are probably watch the Nets max him out, and then I'm just pissed. So I'm going to go shot fake. I think he'll get the max, but I think it'll be tough to max him and him be your number one or number two if you're trying to win a championship.
Right. I'm going shot fake as well. I love Tobias Harris. I think he's a great second to fourth option on a team, probably the ideal third option on a team. But again, I don't. Max money to me, I think, gets thrown around a little bit too often in the NBA. That's a different little grudge I have. but I think it'd be a mistake for a team to max him out to expect him to be the first or second.
Yeah, and honestly, most likely he'll get maxed out this year or close to it because of the way free agency is going to happen.
Right. So next up, we have Nathan, Warrior fan kid, or the Warrior fan KD. This is another hot take towards.
Is KD's burner? No.
No, I don't think so. So hot take, the Nets won the KG and Paul Pierce trade. They got Pierce, KG, and Terry. They contended, got fans, boosted revenue. They gave up picks, but it was strategical. Without the picks, it allowed a rebuild. Celtics haven't won a ring, so it hasn't worked in their favor. Celtics are trending in a bad direction.
Yeah, this ain't it. as much as I would love to say the Nets won the trade, you know, if you ask me if I wish the Nets could reverse the trade, I'd say no, because they wouldn't have Kenny Atkinson or Sean Marks, which I think is crucial for their future success. And obviously the way they've gotten D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, different ways along those lines. So I wouldn't reverse the trade, but if the Nets could go back and rearrange the trade, they would. Obviously trading four first-round picks for KG and Pierce, and Pierce ended up leaving after one season. I think the most positive you could take out of it is KG turned into Thad Young, and Thad Young turned into Caris LeVert. Like, that's the only thing. But they ended up with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Terry Rozier I'm not, like, a giant fan of, but still. I think that in Colin Sexton ended up being the pick that they got sent to the Cavs. So I think overall, obviously, just a lot of good young players from the Boston pick, the Nets picks that went to Boston, so you can't call it a win.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're saying, like, it's because, like, a part of me wants to say this is a hot take. I think the Nets are in a good position, but to say the Nets won the KG trade is a shot fake, because obviously they didn't win that trade.
Yeah, it they was... want for the franchise having to rebuild, because who knows if, like, let's say it was a better trade and they only traded one or two first round picks, and then Billy King's still your GM, and now your team is just constantly trash.
Right. So
not
I'm going
trash, but just like the worst place in the NBA, which is like being a playoff team that just gets knocked out in the first round every year.
Yeah. So I'm with you on shot fake. You know, this will be a deal that I think we constantly bring up, especially when, like, if the Nets start having, like, decent playoff success, and maybe even if they start having more success than the Celtics, maybe this trade we can revisit, but I still think it's a shot fake.
I think if you want to make an argument that the Celtics haven't used the assets to the greatest ability, if they don't win a chip, then I think, like, you could talk about that, but I don't think there's any way to really turn it into a win for the Nets. You could just turn it into a slight L for the Celtics if they don't end up winning a chip over the next 10 years.
Yeah, I agree with that. So next up, we have John Carrion. His Twitter handle is Godson. Steph Curry is the best shooter in the NBA, and he is going to go down as a top 10 NBA player of all time. I'll take a shot fake.
It's really tough, to be honest. I think, yeah, definitely the best shooter thing is 100% hot take. Best shooter of all time, you want to make that hot take, that's fine too. Top 10, I honestly hate getting into historical debates about top 10 players. If you ever noticed that, you never really hear me talk on that, because I feel like it's so hard to compare generations and, you know, all different types of rules and things along those lines. So I wish I could take, like, a cop-out right here, but I guess I'll go with hot take, because I think Curry's probably going to win. If KD doesn't leave, he'll at least probably win two more chips, if not more.
Yeah, I'm going with hot take. Obviously, the best shooter part, I think that's already kind of been decided. The fact that no one can put up as many threes in a season as him. I mean, he's got the top, I think, like, the top, he's got five of, like, the top six three-pointers in a season.
And the other one's Klay Thompson.
Right. So I think he's already solidified himself as the best shooter, especially just because of the efficiency. You know, again, I think he's shooting 43 or 44% this year, which is basically unheard of. And before he got hurt, early in the year, he was shooting like 49%. So I think on that part, it's correct and a hot take. The top 10, I think it really depends on the championships and how long his career goes. Obviously, he's had some ankle injuries in the past. Because really, Curry has only been this dominant force in the league for now 4 or 5 years. 5 years, I think, would be like the solid number. So if he can sustain this for another, let's say, 4 years, and he wins, you know, one or two more titles, then I think he may be in the top 10 discussion. I think he's already top 25, probably, just looking at the statistics and how he's already broken so many records. He's going to be the youngest player ever to have the most three-pointers made in his entire career. So I'll say hot take.
Yeah, and I think one thing, if you want to make an argument for him, is that he literally changed the game. Like, he had a real big impact on the game of basketball with his shooting ability. And, you know, that's some of that's Golden State, but some of that is Steph Curry himself.
Yeah. So next up, we have Jonit. I don't know how to say his last name. U-C-H-I-H-A. Uchiha. All right, well, hot take. The Houston Rockets could defeat the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs in 2019.
Could? That's not even like a hot. That's like the. It's like a mild take. It's like, hey.
Right. I mean, he said it. He did say hot take, so maybe he just didn't mean it. I mean, it's like a. You're right. Him saying could is like him trying to cop out his own hot take. So we'll just say Houston Rockets defeat the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs in 2019.
Shot fake. I mean. Would I kind of like to see it? Maybe, but do I realistically think it would happen? If you gave me $10,000 right now and you said pick a team, I would pick
$10,000.
Yeah, you're balling. You're wrong.
Yeah, I'm going with shot fake. I felt differently on this. I think it's a lot closer. I actually do think Houston Rockets are better this year than last year, just because I think James Harden's got more confidence. And I just think, I don't know, I just like the team meshed up a little bit better for Houston this year, believe it or not. But I don't think they win in a 7-game series. I will never take a team, I'll never take any team against the fact that the Warriors have Cousins, Curry, Durant, Green, and Clay. As long as those five guys are healthy, I think in the playoffs, they're going to be extremely tough to beat in a 7-game series.
Yeah, 100%. Unless they get, you know, Golden State were going to funk or somebody would get hurt, I'd feel pretty confident about them winning.
Yeah. So last one, this is from Snotty Drippin. He tweeted, looks left, looks right, whispers, Damian Lillard would have the Celtics as a 2 seed in the East. Hot take or shot fake?
Ah, that is tough. This has like been an ongoing debate. Now, obviously, you know, you and Jack have talked about Kyrie versus Dame.
Dennis Dow came for us last night.
Yeah, Dennis was complaining Dame should have been in there. I honestly don't think Kyrie's been the issue with Boston. Like, has he missed some games? Yeah, but has he been the reason they're not winning? Maybe you could say Dame's a better locker room guy. You know, that's an argument someone could make. It's really tough. I think I'm going to go with shot fake because I think some of the chemistry is just like having so many guys, Gordon Hayward not playing well, Jaylen Brown not playing well, Terry Rozier not playing well for a lot of the season, just having, and then all the injuries and the chemistry and trying to make a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals mesh back with two, you know, all-stars, one being a former all-star coming back from an injury and one guy coming back from injury but still looking 100%. So I think in a perfect world, the Celtics still would have got the 2 seed this year, and I don't think Dame would have necessarily changed all the bad luck they had.
I'm on the opposite side. I'm going to say hot take. And I think I lean towards Lillard in this because of the leadership qualities. One of the big things I noticed from Damian Lillard in Portland this year is the fact that he's constantly in guys' ears, talking to them. I know Nurkic numerous times when he gets in from games I watch, you know, Lillard sits him down, just like talks to him. And I don't ever really see that from Kyrie. And then when it comes down to court stuff, obviously I still think Kyrie's a better player than Lillard, but I don't think necessarily that I think Lillard's heart and the way that Lillard just plays with like a different type of toughness and grit, I think it's easier for guys to rally around him in a sense. Whereas Kyrie has this constant push and kind of like push match with trying to be a leader. Like at times it looks like he's embracing and at times it looks like he just wants to be left alone the ball. So I think from like pretty much like the intangibles, I think I would take Lillard. And I think hot take, I think the Celtics would be better if they had a guy like Lillard leading the squad.
I think that'd be pretty much the only argument would be the leadership, that he would boost them. But I still think some of it was, not to say Brad Stevens is a bad coach, but you know, obviously he's a really good coach, but trying to get all these personalities to gel is still difficult even if Dame is there, because Dame might, you know, talk his teammates up, but some guys still are going to be unhappy with their roles.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you have a roster.
So many good players. Like,
yeah, you have 9 guys who arguably could all be playing 25-plus minutes a game, and you just obviously can't have that.
Exactly. But the last one, that was the last one,
Corey? Yep, that was the last one.
All right, guys, that wraps up. This was a little bit of an express episode. We'll hit you later in the week with another one. As always, thank you for listening. Thanks for hopping on, Corey. And check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OG Basketball.com, Google Play, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.